Good afternoon, everybody. How are you all doing? Now, I'm having to test this wireless mic again because there was problems on the last podcast with crackling. So I've had to reset the mics. And if you can hear a jingle in there, that's my cat having a scratch. So I'm doing a test of this microphone now, which is the Tech Magnet Smart Mic for Android and iOS. Now, what I thought I'd talk about for this test is my recent COVID journey. Now, my wife initially caught COVID from her work. And with me working in the care sector, I was testing quite regularly anyway. But I thought I'd test every day. Then 2 days after my wife caught it, I came back positive. So I had to go and do full test at the local testing centre. That came back positive, so I had to self-isolate from work. At the beginning, the symptoms I was getting, it wasn't until like a day or two after I was tested positive, maybe it's a day, but I was getting a really bad headache. And if anybody's had COVID, they'll know this headache is like the headache from hell. It's like a really bad migraine-y. I don't suffer from migraines, or not very often. I have once or twice in my whole life, but that's about it. From what I understand, this is like a migraine headache, but it's like, oh, so painful. had the dry cough as well, which is strange just in itself. Because if you get a cold, say like a winter and things like that, when you've got a cough, a chesty cough, you're coughing your guts up and it hurts your chest and your throat and things like that. Whereas the COVID cough, you feel like you're coughing your lungs up to the point you can barely breathe, but your chest and your throat don't hurt. It's so strange like that. It's one thing we've noticed. Both me and my wife noticed the same thing. Had the sneezing, had the sore eyes and things like that, and just felt rough in general. Then for the 10 days isolation, that went on for a few days. Then I had a couple of days which I felt actually okay. I thought, oh, great, it's going now. You know, I'm double vaccinated and everything, so I'm not getting as bad as what I would have otherwise. I thought, great. And I had a couple of good days. Then my wife was feeling better by that time. She went back to work. So it was about day 8 for me by this time. And I just started feeling really bad, out of breath, and a really massively high temperature. It was up into the 40s, my temperature. It's to the point, I've got an oximeter anyway for my finger, which, yeah, fair enough, might not be as good as the ones in the hospital, whichever country you're in, like NHS in the UK, but it gives a guideline, you know. And according to the reviews, this particular oximeter, this is why I bought it, I reviewed absolutely loads, and people were saying when they've tested it, and also at the same, tested it at the doctors when they've had their things, they were pretty much the same, basically. The same readings. That's why I went for this one. My blood oxygen was down to about 88. Now, when I read it up on Google, it was saying it should be between 88 and 95. That was mistake number one. My temperature and everything was skyrocketing. got a thermal thermometer thing rather than the one you put in your mouth and everything. And that was going shown red. The screen goes like green, amber, red, depending on like how bad it was going red. And my temperature was up into the 40s where I was burning up. Then it would plummet down to normal. So like 35, 36, whatever. But because it had been so, I'd been so hot first. Sorry if you can hear that. That's my daughter in the kitchen opening a packet of crisps. Yeah, because I'd been so hot first, when I came back down to normal, it felt freezing cold. So I was going from burning hot, where sweat was pouring out of me, to freezing cold, where I was shaking uncontrollably. I was like physically, you could see me physically shaking. Even if putting a blanket over the top of me, I would be like just shaking away. And my breathing, I was like, my breathing was all over the place. Now, my wife rang 111, which is the non-emergency telephone line. And she was through to them for half an hour and could not get an answer. And this was on Saturday. And that, like, I was feeling really ill, and I was just telling her, just leave it, just leave it. I'll ride this through, just leave it. So she did, and she left it Saturday and Sunday. But Monday, she was getting ready for work downstairs. I was still in bed. Then I came down, which is like quite unusual for me, like, because I love my bed. But I came down before she went to work, and I said, I feel awful. I feel like this isn't how I describe what I was feeling. She says, right, and rang 111 again. Eventually got an answer. They immediately sent a paramedic out, an ambulance. But the way the NHS is at the moment, where there's a shortage of doctors, there's a backlog of emergency calls and things like that, is absolutely terrible at the moment, the NHS. It took about, I think, about 4 hours for the ambulance to get here. And it's a good job I wasn't sort of dying or anything like that, to be blunt about it. Yeah, so it took about 4 hours. The crew came in, took one look at me, done the readings, and went, yeah, you're going straight into hospital. They were fantastic, the crew. But they came in a paramedic car, like a BMW estate type of thing. So they rang for an ambulance. They could not get an ambulance themselves. And it took another, I think, about 4 hours, 4 hours, to get an ambulance here. And even then, it was a local community care ambulance, which normally transports pensioners around, not a proper paramedics ambulance. So that's all they could get. So that's what I had to make do with. So they got us in the hospital. They put me in a side room in A&E. And it took, I'm trying to remember, I worked it out the other day from all the text messages and photos that I sent. It took about 2.5 hours for somebody to come and see me in the room. I was beginning to think I'd been forgot about, but I was too ill to go wandering around, plus if I've got COVID as well. This doctor came in, said, oh, has anybody been in, take your readings or take bloods? I went, nobody's been in, you're the first person. And he did not look happy at all. So he goes, right, okay. So he went out. He came back a few minutes later, took all the bloods and everything himself. Done the ECG, done heart rate, blood oxygen, everything. Right, okay. Then disappeared again. And he was, it takes ages to get the results back. And I actually fell asleep. I lay on the bed. Now, one thing I will say, when I went in the room, when I got the room, they said, right, go in this room. There was already somebody in. And she was ringing for a taxi or somebody to pick her up. So I had to wait in the corridor for her. So she came out. I got wheeled straight in. That room hadn't been cleaned. There were spots of blood all over the floor and everything. The bed was all ruffled up. So considering like the time at the moment, COVID and things, you would have thought the bed would, the place would have been cleaned first, especially blood and everything on the floor. It was like loads of spots of blood all over. So I was in the chair for a while. In the end, I said, sod it, I'm going to lie in this bed. I know somebody's been in it. I said, I'm going to lie in this bed. I need to lie flat. So I did. I lay there for ages. Eventually fell asleep. Got woke up by the person coming in and said, right, you're going up onto the contagious diseases ward. Oh, okay. So transferred me up there. Got me a room, which was, even the nurses say it's the best room in the whole ward because the view from it overlooks A&E and you can see all sorts of things. It was great. It was like its own little soap opera looking out the window. So I got put in there, got told I didn't need to wear a mask because, you know, they all scrub up and get PPE'd up before they even come in my room. There's like a little separate room that goes into one room. They get washed, they get, you know, masks on, aprons, all gloves and everything, and then they come into my room. So they did everything again and made sure I had something to eat and a cup of tea and everything. And that was pretty much it for those 12 days. God, no, the nurses are really nice. The nurses on there are fantastic. Like every other ward in every other hospital, run off the feet, but they are always so nice, and yeah, they couldn't do enough for you, and they were feeding me like toast rather than bring one slice, or bringing four slices for me because I love my toast, and cups of tea, and because with it being a COVID ward, you can't leave your room and go wandering up and down the corridor, so you've got to press the buzzer and say, I need some more water, or need a cup of tea or whichever, you know. Oh yes, before I got taken up there, I got actually taken for an x-ray. I forgot about that. So it was like a chest x-ray. Got that, and they come back and they've said, right, you've got COVID pneumonia. I'd never even heard of COVID pneumonia before. And I've since found out you can get COVID fatigue as well. Yeah, COVID pneumonia. He says it's actually hit your body really bad. Well, oh, hence why I couldn't breathe. But I thought I couldn't breathe because of the temperature going up and down, spiking and plummeting. And it wasn't, but it was because of my blood pressure. The temperature was causing my blood pressure. There was something, I don't know if it's the temperature or whatever, but the COVID was causing me blood pressure to bottom out. And that's why I couldn't breathe and I was nearly passing out and things like that. They've done the x-ray, they took us up the contagious diseases ward. And I was constantly, every day, I had needles stuck in me. One day I had 9 cannulas stuck. And it's because they were either coming out, coming unstuck, or they couldn't get the vein or something like that. So, I had quite a few bruises. That was over the case of 2 days, 9 cannulas. Even the nurses were, wow, that's a lot. But I was getting needles stuck in my stomach for blood thinners to stop my blood clotting because COVID can cause blood clots. And that needle really hurt. Well, the needle itself didn't hurt. It's the stuff going in. It stung. Absolutely stung. By the end of the 12 days I was in there, my stomach was black and blue. They tried to put it in the right-hand side of my stomach, but they couldn't because I've got a scar there from an appendix operation. It's quite a big scar. And it actually bent the needle. They couldn't get it in. They bent the needle, so they always had to do the left-hand side, which ended up black and blue by the end of the 12 days. There was one time in there, I was asleep at night, lovely and comfortable, because the hospital bed was so comfortable. And I woke up and I thought I was having a heart attack. The pain was agonizing. I was suppressing the blood as I came in, like rushing it. I could barely speak because I was in that much pain. I just, all I could see was pain, pain, pain. And I was clutching my chest. I couldn't let go of my chest. And my arms were sort of locked into that position, like clutching my chest. And they'd done the checks. It was just a panic attack, thankfully. But to wake up like that, and obviously panic attack in your sleep, and you wake up feeling like you're having a heart attack. Oh my God, that was probably the worst panic attack I've ever had in my life. Don't know what brought it on, but it was painful as hell. But anyway, after 12 days in the wee, I was on oxygen. They had nose cannulas in, then they moved to the mask, increased the oxygen. Then over the 12 days, gradually reduced the oxygen. Sorry about that. I had to pause it there. My daughter decided she wanted to talk about everything under the sun. Yeah, where was I? So I was in this room. Yeah, the 12 days, they reduced my oxygen. Took all my cannulas out over time and everything. Then the on the final day, that when the discharged us, consultant come in, checked us over, felt fine. Well, they said I felt fine. I didn't feel fine, but they said my stats and everything's fine. My blood oxygen, my pulse, heart rate. Everything's fine. Done some final blood tests, make sure there's no clotting, stuff like that. Everything fine. Discharged us. Come home. Come home. A few days later, I got a discharge letter which said I've got an X-ray appointment at the end of the month, which I wasn't told about. That's chest X-ray, obviously, just see if everything's cleared up. Then things started to happen. So, like, out of breath at the slightest thing. So, like, even in the middle of a sentence, I would like have to take a big, deep gasp of air to finish a sentence. So, if I'm having a conversation with somebody, it was really exhausting. The window cleaner came to the door. I went to pay him. Next door neighbor came to his door, and I haven't seen him since before I went into hospital. And spoke to them for about half an hour, and it literally took me about 2.5 hours to regulate my breathing after that. It took it out of me that long. Another day, no, I've been under strict orders off my wife not to do anything in the house, because we've just been by myself most days. She doesn't want me collapsing or something when I'm in the house by myself. But what I'm doing, I'm carrying my phone with me all the time. So if something does happen, now we've given the neighbor a key. So if something does happen, I can ring him because he's retired now, so he's in the house most of the time. I can ring him and he can come to help. Yeah, so my wife went to do the shopping on a Saturday, and I said, oh, can I come? I need to get out of the house. I'm sick of being in the house. So we worked it out. We went, got an electric cart from the supermarket, which are not allowed to be brought outside, which is awkward. But got inside, electric cart. It was a fantastic help. So I'll be sat in the cart. I can go around. I'm out of the house. My wife doesn't have to carry a basket or anything around. That was great. Next time, done it. Got into the shop. My wife was getting the key for the electric cart. Neighbor from along the road seeing us, she was chatting. My wife come up, and that was it. My blood pressure just plummeted, and I collapsed. My wife grabbed us before I hit the floor. Managers for the shop had just come from everywhere. I have no idea where all these came from, because they weren't around the first time, unless I looked like I was unwell and they were keeping an eye on us. I've got a wheelchair, put us into the cafe, got me bottles of water, even got me a lovely chip buddy as well to try and make us feel better. Called an ambulance. Ambulance took about an hour to get there. They checked us over. Again, nothing wrong. But they said, literally just going from the car, which was parked pretty much outside the doors, into the shop. Something as little as that has took it out of me. And then my blood pressure just plummets. So that's pretty much how it is at the moment. And the staff in the supermarket, I have to say, were fantastic. Couldn't do enough to help. Always come back and check and everything was okay if I needed anything or if I wanted a private room or anything like that. So that's pretty much been it. And since then, not left the house. I think I walked around our square once with my wife. She was hanging on to us and was walking really slowly, like you would imagine some like a really old pensioner to walk, just shuffling along. That's what I was like. It took ages just to walk around the court. But by the time I got back to the front door, I could feel my legs going. So that last sort of 40 yards was probably done at pace because I needed to get the front door before I collapsed. So that's the state at the moment. And my blood thinners I've got to come home with. They're for 30 days, so they'll be running out in a couple of weeks. But I've heard of the paramedics were saying that before I got discharged from hospital, they should have walked me up and down the ward with a monitor on to see if I can cope with it. But they didn't. So I don't know what the truth is there. I rang the doctors because with us being on blood thinners, they had to take us off my anti-inflammatories for my back. And I wasn't feeling good. So I rang the doctors and I got a receptionist who had no appointments until next week. Also, the first time, so ring on Friday. It's appointments on the day. So I rang Friday. Was engaged for the first half hour. By the time I got through, all the appointments are gone. And I pretty much had to be quite abrupt with the lady, with the girl on the phone, which I don't like doing. But I had to tell her, I said, literally, I've just been released from hospital with COVID. I've got no aftercare. I need some help. I've been taken off some meds, which I need. I need the doctor to speak to us. So she did eventually get one, but I had to wait a few days for the telephone appointment. Spoke to him, confirmed a few things. He's going to arrange for blood tests to be done at home because I can't get to the doctors. Might take a couple of weeks. That's where we are at the moment. Having good days and bad days. And because I'm lying around and sitting around so much, it's actually aggravated my back injury. So I'm in quite a bit of pain with my back as well. So in some ways, I need to be exercising my back, walking about. And also I need to be walking about to try and get lung capacity and keep your muscles moving and all that sort of thing. Tired. It's absolute agony because my back is so sore. That's where we are at the moment anyway. So I just thought I'd let you know that's been my journey so far, and it's been a little test of this smart mic. Leave a message. It'll be great to hear from people because, like I say, I'm stuck in the house, and it's actually nice to hear from people. So if you want to leave a message, that'll be absolutely fantastic. So take care, everybody, and hopefully catch up with you soon.